Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now. Please join Father Cedric's message already in progress.
What kind of love would forgive a prostitute who commits adultery and after you've been so good to her, leaves again? What kind of love would not only forgive her, but go after her and bring her back? And do you see that no matter your sin here tonight, whether it's been adultery or prostitution or just lusting or swearing or anger, you know, I gave you that whole list. I hope you'll look at it. Examine your conscience. No matter what it is here tonight, God's love is so great that it covers all that and forgives you, but just simply wants you to make a move and wants you to come. See, the love of God is awesome and beautiful. And you know, I talked some about that love last night. You know, our Holy Father, Pope Benedict, you know, he was just elected Pope about a year and a half ago, and he was a great theologian, great philosopher, and everybody was waiting for his first encyclical. What's it going to be like? What's it going to be on? It's probably going to be this big theological treaty. And actually, the name of the encyclical was, and I think you know what it is, it came out this year when it was promulgated, God is Love. And I mean, God is love. I mean, we know that. That's what people were probably thinking. But I think it's a prophetic word to the body of Christ today. See, I think he was trying to tell us not only to understand that God is love intellectually, but he wants the Catholic Church, the people of the Catholic Church throughout the world, to experience God's love in a very beautiful way. And that's exactly what we need, and that's what reconciliation is all about. You see, God wants to touch us with his love. And all this week, you know, the whole mission has all been about, he touched me. And for those of you who go to confession, what we do in the confessional is we pray over you, and a sacrament really is a touch of Christ, a touch of his mercy, a touch of his forgiveness. And I want you to receive that touch. You see, sacrament of reconciliation is a place where you experience healing and grace and cleansing. I remember one time I was home visiting my mom, and you know, I love to run, and I was running on the beach one morning, and it was Memorial Day, and there was all kinds of people on the beach in Florida where she lives. And I went to the beach, and I see everything, you know, and there's all these people, and you can drive on the beach there just south of Daytona. There's tire tracks, there's you know, sandcastles and cigarette butts and footprints and ruts and litter and all this different stuff. And I'm going, look at the beach, it's a mess. Who's going to clean up this dump, you know? And I love the beach, and I hate to see it spoil like that. So I ran, and then I came back the next morning to run again. Now it was Tuesday morning after Memorial Day. Everybody was back at work. There was hardly anybody there. And I looked at the beach, and you know what had happened? The tide had come in, and the waves had crashed on the beach, and the foam kind of spread out everywhere, and the beach was cleansed. It looked like a virgin beach. You could not see any sign of the people that had been there yesterday. It was all cleansed. And as I was looking at the waves hitting the beach, pounding on the beach, I sensed the Holy Spirit deep in my heart say, Cedric, tell my people my mercy is just like those waves. They come, they hit the beach, and they cleanse, and they heal. See, so many people are filled with guilt and shame and beating themselves up and not forgiving themselves. And the mercy of God comes in waves to touch you and to bring cleansing and to bring healing. And that's exactly what we need. You know, one of the things I gave you tonight is I gave you a psalm. It's Psalm 51. That's going to be your penance. A penance is not a punishment. A penance is something that to bring you to Christ in a deeper way. Well, the interesting thing about Psalm 51, it was written by a man who was an adulterer. It was written by a man who was a murderer. King David, if you remember, he saw Bathsheba taking a bath. And then he committed adultery with her. And then, scoundrel that he was, he had her husband killed, Uriah the Hittite, killed at the front lines. Put him up at the front so he'll get killed, and then I won't get caught with this sin. And then, of course, Nathan had to come to him, and he said, "You are the man, you have sinned." So he wrote this psalm, Psalm 51, and he said, "Cleanse me, O God, heal me, put a new spirit within me." And he was forgiven. And I mean, I know that you're probably some of the best people in Vacaville and the surrounding areas. You wouldn't be here tonight. But I've been in the confessional now for 15 years, and I've heard what you've done. And that's why I wrote that sheet, and it pretty much covers most of what you talk about in there, from anger and lust and laziness and all these different things, gluttony. And I've tried to help you to look at it, so I know you're not the worst sinners, but what I'm trying to say is if an adulterer and a murderer could be forgiven and be one of the greatest people of the Bible, certainly tonight, come to forgiveness. Come and experience the washing and the cleansing. You see, God's love is unconditional. That's one of the words in the Greek that the Pope used in his encyclical. The word was agape. They used to call this Eucharist early on in Christendom an agape feast. It's because God's love isn't conditioned on our behavior. He loves all of us, as I said last night. He loves all of us just the same, beautifully. Jesus said his sun shines on the just and the unjust. The rain falls on the good and the bad. He doesn't discriminate with his love. However, and here's where the rubber meets the road, not everybody responds to his love in the same way. They put up walls. They put up barriers. And what are some of those barriers? Our sins. That's what it says in the prophet Isaiah. Your sins have made a separation from you and me, says the Lord. Because guilt comes with it, shame comes with it, you beat yourself up, you condemn yourself, the devil condemns you, you got all this stuff, and it's just like, how are you going to pray? But I thank God for his love, a love that saves. The Bible says, as you know, look up at the cross just for a second. Those of you listening by CD, think about a cross. That God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Wow. What love God has for us. Unconditional. He gave it up for David, for the worst sinner in Vacaville, for those in prison, and for those going to church. And then the other word, really quickly, that the Pope used for love, and he used three words, actually, but the other word that I want to concentrate it beside agape, another Greek word, was the word eros, not arrows that you shoot from a bow. It's E-R-O-S. And that's where we get the word erotic. It's kind of like a married people's love, a lover's love, a passionate, burning, yearning love. And that was the genius of that whole encyclical, I think, that the Pope united the unconditional love of God with a lover's love. You know, if you've ever read the Song of Solomon, you know, my lover comes like a gazelle leaping the mountains. And it's a love song. And really, it's meant to be between God and his church, the people of God and God. And we just heard from Hosea, I will betroth myself to you in faithfulness and in love. See, God's not just after religion, and he's not even just after relationship. He's after depth, and he's after intimacy. He's after what marriage is a facsimile of. He's after something very deep here. I remember when I encountered God at age 19. I was telling the folks this morning that I had a near-death experience. I actually had two near-death experiences, and I wasn't even sick. And God revealed to me his love for me. And I mean, it was so profound and so holy and so deep, I completely changed. I'm not perfect, but I'm on the way. And his love for you here tonight is erotic and passionate and deep and yearning and burning. And I hope that you'll trust that love and realize that that love is for you. I remember I was counseling a woman and spiritual direction, and she was about to go on retreat. And she told me that on a retreat, you know, she wanted to concentrate on her husband, pray for him, and she wanted to concentrate on her kids, you know, what they were struggling with, and she wanted to pray about her job, whether or not to go to another job. She said as soon as she got on retreat, she sensed, as she came into prayer, she sensed Jesus speaking to her, and Jesus said, I want you to look into my eyes, and I want you to fall in love with me. And she said she couldn't leave that. That became an overwhelming sensation for her whole retreat. You're on retreat right now, and I believe that's a word for you, that Jesus is speaking to you. I want you to look into my eyes and fall in love with me. And there's something different between just loving Jesus and falling in love with Jesus. I remember, you know, when I used to date, not too long ago, when I used to date, and I'd sit there with my girlfriend, you know, that's when the intimacy exponentially increased, was when I just looked into her eyes, and she looked into my eyes. And you can see into each other's soul, and wow, it's deep. And that's how profoundly God loves us. And he really wants this depth and this intimacy. Some time ago, I received an email from a young girl, actually 31 years old, not too young, but pretty young. And the email was about she had heard of me, and she wanted to talk with me about a possible vocation that she had, a vocation to the sisters, to the nuns. And so we set up a meeting at our retreat center in Houston. Now, remember, I went in for the meeting, and you know, I don't know how else to say this, but most of the people that I meet with about vocations, let me just say maybe they kind of look like I think Gomer used to look like, if you know what I mean. That's the only way I can say it. That they're not usually the best-looking people, but that's okay. You know, God calls everybody, and I'm not judging anybody that way. But I really didn't expect what I was about to see. And I walked in there, and there she was sitting in the room, gorgeous, beautiful, 31-year-old woman, who told me later that she used to be a model. You know, slim, trim, beautiful. She had a great job, carried herself beautifully. You know, I'm thinking, boy, is my hair in place and everything? And she's coming to me, asking me all these questions. And she talked to me about how, you know, she really said that the world wasn't doing it for her. And she had tried it, and she didn't look like an especially wicked sinner or anything. She had a real gentle voice. And she said not only did she want to be a nun, but she wanted to be a contemplative nun. I mean, contemplative nuns play for keeps. They don't go out. They're cloistered. And I mean, they're in love with Jesus. And, you know, I talked with her, and what I saw in this young girl was passion. I saw this desire, this thirst, this hunger for God. And she wanted to live her life fully for God. And I was reminded of the story of St. Clair. You know, I've been to Assisi. I've been on retreat in Assisi. St. Clair was a kind of a disciple of St. Francis of Assisi. And Clair was a very beautiful woman with long hair. And her parents wanted her to get married to a noble person, a person with a lot of money, and to do what most people do, which is fine, to be married, to raise children. But she had this hunger and thirst for God. And against her parents' wishes, she came to St. Francis, cut off all of her beautiful hair, and became a sister and raised up the poor Clares. You know, nuns and sisters, thousands of them who love Jesus and commit themselves fully to Christ. And I thought to myself when I was talking to this young woman, I have a Clare in front of me. And that here's this woman with all this passion. And you know what it did? It got me in touch with the passion that I had back 20 years ago when I joined religious life. And it reminded me of my hunger and my thirst for God, and it enkindled my fire even more. You know, I love God, and I'm hungry for God, and I keep searching for God in my own life, but sometimes we let it wane. And seeing a young person like this who had everything coming to God is refreshing. And tonight I want you to think about your passion for God, and how is it, and how has it been? And your hunger, and your thirst, and your desire for God, and what are you doing with it? Are you allowing it to be watered down by the world, or are you keeping God first in your life? I love what Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all the other things will be given you besides. And really, to me, you know, that's why I stand before you clothed in a habit. It's my commitment to Christ. It's my love for Jesus. And that's what we're all being called to tonight. And is there anything in the way of that? Then you got to confess it and let it go. You got to come to Christ. And I'm inviting you to do just that, not let anything hold you back. So what God said in the Word is that I will allure you. That's a word that we don't hear very often. God said, I will allure you, call you into the desert, and speak tenderly to your heart. Well, I believe you've already been allured. Most of you, you're already believers. You've come here tonight. The word allure means to attract, to call. You know, I used to fish years ago. You know, I'd throw the fishing line out, and it'd have a little silver thing right on the end of it. It was called a lure. And when the light hit it and it moves, it would sparkle and it would attract the fish's eye and the fish would go after the hook. And in a way, that's exactly what God is trying to do. He tries to allure us to himself. He calls us. He woos us. He tries to attract us by his love. However, there's something else alluring us and wooing us and calling us and attracting us. And we're kind of caught in the middle. Here's God over here calling us and loving us and giving us his son and telling us how much he loves us with this burning, passionate love. And here we are in the middle. And then over on this side, we got the world, the flesh, and the devil that's trying to woo us and call us and allure us this way. And we're caught. Even the best of us are caught. You know, we love God, but we're selfish. We love the things of the world. And we allow the devil to tempt us. It's a tough place to be. And I want to tell you tonight, you know, is there anything alluring you? And is there anything that's catching your eye? I remember one time I was sitting there with my mom, you know, most of the time. You know what millions of people are doing right now at this moment? They're surfing. No, not at Hawaii. Not in the ocean. You know what they're doing? They're sitting there with this channel changer. Surfing. I call it surfing USA. You know, you just kind of go through and have a good time. They don't even know what they're looking for. They're just flipping around. I love to do it. It's fun. You're kind of in control. Watch the weather, watch sports, you know, watch different things like poker on TV, World Poker Tour, you know, just kind of flip through, seeing all these different things. But one time, it's one of the rare times that I gave my mom control when I was down visiting her. And I gave her the thing. She always watches Everybody Loves Raymond. I hate that show, but anyway. Not everybody loves Raymond. But anyway, I remember she was just, I guess that show wasn't on. She was sitting there flipping, and I watched her. There was a commercial flip, sports show flip. There was a Weather Channel flip, soap opera flip. Then this woman with a gold earring and it had prices underneath came on. She put it down. It was the Shopping Channel. I go, Mom, anything but that. And the woman that had the gold earring on, it was very beautiful. You could see it up against her flesh, and that caught my mom's eye. And I guess for women, you know, this is no stereotypic slur or anything. Many women love to shop. Guys, not so much so. Guys, we're more attracted to sports. That seems to be what catches our eye. In fact, you know what? Don't get mad at me. But I was praying that the Oakland A's were going to lose this week because they would have been playing tonight and there would be a lot less people here tonight. I guarantee you. I guarantee you. I think of these things. I'm sorry, I apologize for that because I like sports and I was hoping for your team, but I know that some of you needed to be here tonight and there would have been less of you. But anyway, I find it interesting and ironic that the God of the Old Testament was called Baal. Do you get it? Baseball, football, basketball, golf ball. And I know, you know, because we're talking about idolatry. The Book of Wisdom says that idolatry is the beginning, middle, and end of evil. The first commandment, you shall have no idols before me. I am the Lord your God. Worship me alone. Have no idols before me. And that's what, you know, I'm a sports enthusiast, folks, but I'll tell you what, we've got to keep it in balance. And I think, you know, people are flipping through this thing, and this happened to me. I found the World Poker Tour. And it's on the Travel Channel and ESPN and different things. I never played poker in my life. And it's like seeing them play for millions of dollars, you got to watch that. How can they go all in? I have a phrase now, you got to go all in for Jesus, right? And just bet it all for Jesus. That's the way I am. And how can they do that? I would have a heart attack with that much money. I've never seen that much money. And it's fun to watch. You know, they pour all that money on the table and everything. But what's starting to happen is people that are flipping through these channels are now starting to play on the internet because they're seeing this, and they're getting addicted to this. See, we are hot-wired for addiction. You've got to be really careful. We're compulsive, we're impulsive, and obsessive, and it's very easy when we start to taste something that tastes good, whether it be alcohol or gambling or sex or whatever, psychologists will call it an escalating scale of enjoyment. For example, this is how you get hooked on drugs. They give you a little bit of drugs in the beginning, and you get high and everything, then the next time you need more. It's called an escalating scale of enjoyment. It's the same with gambling or excitement or travel, or, you know, you just need more. We're hotwired for that, and that's how people get addicted. And that's why I always say that you got to keep things in balance, folks. I am not saying that the world is bad. The world was created by God. It's full of good things, and there's all kinds of different things that you can enjoy. I wrote some down. Computers, TV, travel, shopping, gambling, drinking, food, relationships, cell phones, work. It's all good, but you got to do it in moderation and not let it possess you. I have a saying. It's called the honey syndrome. What do I mean by that? There's a proverb that says, honey is sweet, but too much makes you sick. You know what the honey syndrome is? When you get too much and it makes you sick. Not just eating, but it can be sex, or anger, or gambling, or shopping, or travel, or whatever it is. And it will make you sick. Because, you know, you try to, you know, for example, I'll buy a chocolate bar. I just eat a little bit. Eat that whole chocolate bar. I get sick. I can't handle it. When you drink, you just don't drink too much. You get sick. Or you'll get stuck doing it day after day after day. And I call it the honey syndrome because, for example, with golf, I love to play golf. When I play usually once a week, sometimes twice a week, I go out and I play, and I don't concentrate on score as much as smelling the flowers, looking at the grass, looking at the water, listening to the birds. I can really enjoy my day when I go out there and I'm not too serious. But I noticed one time I went on a golf vacation. I was playing every day. And all of a sudden, creation and nature and everything didn't mean much to me. You know what it meant to me? Score. And I started getting irritated, upset, impatient, because honey is sweet, golf, but too much of it makes you sick. And it's the same with anything in life. And is there anything or everything in your life, whatever it is, that's got a hold on you? And if it is, tonight I invite you to come to the healing love of God to be set free. See, God is alluring us, but the world is alluring us too. And they had their gods in the day of Hosea, and he spoke against it. And we have our gods in our day and age, and I'm trying to speak against them too. Because I want you fully committed. I want you wide open to the touch of God. So God's deeply in love with us, and he allures us. And he calls us into the desert. And I love what the prophet Hosea said. I will allure you into the desert, and I will speak tenderly to your heart. You see, God is not harsh. He's not mean. He's not an ogre. He doesn't want to punish you. His voice is not hard. His voice is very gentle. And his voice is very sweet and soft and tender. His voice will say things like, I forgive you. And I love you, and you're mine. And his voice certainly doesn't condemn you. The Bible says that there's no condemnation for those who are in Jesus. Because a lot of people say, well, Father, I go to confession, I know that God forgives me, but I don't forgive myself. Well, I'll tell you what, that's not the voice of God condemning you, and it might not even be your own voice condemning you. I think it's the voice of evil condemning you. And a lot of times you don't forgive yourself. You think it's yourself beating yourself up when it's evil. The same devil that tempts you into things is the same devil that's going to try to keep beating you up and holding you down and separating you from God. So he will speak tenderly to your heart. So I invite you tonight to come, to give God a chance to touch you, to cleanse you, to wash you. You haven't outsinned God's ability to do that. And I pray that you will experience a touch of Christ, a touch of God, You'll experience God's mercy and God's care. For those of you who are listening by CD, I invite you the first chance you can to go to confession, but maybe right where you are, just to confess to God as we surrender our lives right now. And I want to leave you with the words of the song Hosea, just to refresh you. Come back to me with all your heart, and don't let fear keep us apart. Trees do bend, though straight and tall, so must we to another's call. Long have I waited, for some of you, long have I waited for your coming back to me, coming home to me, and living deeply our new life. Here's what I'd like to do now. You've heard the word, and I believe you soaked it in. Our act of contrition we're all going to do together, and it's a prayer of surrender, and it's on that purple sheet. I'm going to invite us all to kneel, and together let us pray. Jesus, I have sinned. I am sorry. Have mercy in your kindness. I want a new beginning with you. Through your grace, heal and cleanse me. Help me to change and to follow you. Amen. And Lord Jesus, I ask your blessing upon your people. There are some people here that have not been to confession in a long time. And long have you waited for their coming back to you. And there are other people that are being oppressed and possessed by things, by addictions, by exciting things that have a hold on them. I pray tonight you will give them a new freedom and break that power in their life. And I pray for all of us that we'll fall in love more deeply with you this night. We'll experience your touch, your cleansing, your healing. And if there's anybody here that has not forgiven somebody that they need to, I pray that they will be given the grace to do that. And in a special way, I pray if there's anybody here that hasn't forgiven themselves, that tonight will be a night that they will forgive themselves, move on, and grow in relationship with you. So I ask your blessing upon your people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live with passion.